Oh, wow. Gee, I didn't know that. One of my favorites on the internet nowadays, I was this many days old when I found this out. All epiphany moments. All that moment when we say, wow, something is now clear that had not been clear before. Because epiphany means a manifestation of something. In this instance, in this place, on this day, we're looking at the epiphany as the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. Now, who had been looking for a Savior for generation upon generation, millennia upon millennia, but the Hebrew people? So Jesus came for the Jews. Not so much. He came for all of us. He came for everyone, because Jesus, as God, created every single living creature, loves every single living creature, and wants to be in communion, in union, in conversation with them, to be in relationship with them. Now, we know how we got to this moment in time, right? The baby, the manger, mom and dad, 90 miles from home because of a census. But let's really rewind the clock a few thousand years. Adam and Eve in the garden. It's in that spot where God had given them everything they needed to live and to flourish. And as the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us in the here and now, to be happy. That's what God wants from us, is happiness. We tend to muck it up by letting the small stuff get in the way. But God wants happiness. So there was happiness in the Garden of Eden. And how long did the Garden of Eden last? About a half a page. Was it a week, a day, a year, a month, a decade, a century, a millennium? I don't know. We don't know how long they were going. But we do know that Satan was there. Satan, that fourth archangel. Archangels in the listing of angels, there are 9 or 11, depending on which resource you use, levels of angels. Archangels are right in the middle. Archangels are supposed to be messengers. And there are 4 of them buzzing around the world, keeping God apprised of what's going on, informing and giving him the messages. And Lucifer says, I can do his job. Because obviously God was just walking around with a coffee cup or a clipboard, not looking very busy, and Lucifer, in his naiveness, said, oh, I can do that. And he started a mutiny. And we know the story about Michael throwing him out of the kingdom. And now, having had that happen to Lucifer, and perhaps you've heard me say this before, I refer to Lucifer in that profile type of the stalker, jealous ex-boyfriend thing, where they will go out of their way to destroy any fun you're having, to make sure that your plan doesn't come into fulfillment. Because he's not part of God's plan. God's plan was never evil in the world. And so because of the sin of man, a man needed to make remedy. And so Jesus, the Son of God, was asked by his Father to do him a little favor. You've been with me for all time, since the beginning of all time. Now I need a quick little favor. Can you just hop down to the earth, spend about 33 years there, give them some really great examples, some wonderful stories, and the way to live their life to get closer to relationship with us. It'll only be a minute in all of time, but I need you to do this for me. Jesus, being ever obedient to his Father, why, certainly. And there's going to be this little bit at the end that's not going to be so nice. Of course, Father, whatever you need of me. And the baby is born. Helpless, can't do anything on its own. Mary changed his diapers. God has become man. God has become what we are, humans, so that we can be more like Him, God, divine, holy, blameless. We know that from the very beginning, there was no room at them in the inn, so they were probably in a stable, which might have been more like a cave in Bethlehem in that time. It's a hilly area to keep warm near the animals. And the only thing we had to put Jesus in was swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes is not a nice outfit. It's a compilation of anything you get laying around to wrap him up, to keep him warm. Again, showing his humility, his humanity. Not dressed like a regal king in a palace, but rather in whatever scraps they could find to wrap him in, and laid in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. Yet Jesus tells us he is the bread of life. Jesus came here to feed us. The entire sixth chapter of John's gospel talks about Jesus being the bread of life. And here he is laying in a manger where we put food. In a town, Bethlehem, which means house of bread. Okay, they showed up because of the census. They had to do what they had to do. Now here's Joseph. His technical title was tecton, a Greek word meaning more like mechanic. But he could do anything with his hands. He was one of those skilled all-around jack-of-all-trades that if it was wood, stone, whatever there was to work with, he was a skilled laborer. And it's like, do we need to stay? Do we need to go back home? We're here. Why don't we give this some time, right? Let the baby get a little older before we make that 90-mile trip back north. And how do we know that they stayed there for a little while? This single word in Matthew's gospel, which is not mentioned anywhere else, it says specifically that the Magi went into him and they went into the house. What good father is going to leave his family with a newborn baby in a stable? Nobody. Joseph, being the marvel that he was of parenthood, had to find suitable accommodations. Now, when did the Magi arrive? Love playing this little game. If you had to get to Egypt, I'd say to Jerusalem, but right now that's not a hot destination for tourists, right? But if you had to get to the Middle East and somebody said, you got to go and get there as quickly as you can right now, if you have a passport, you're one step ahead. If you don't, it's a 6-month wait. Now you got to get on an airplane, and it's going to take you 14 hours or whatever flying. And so it could be the best scenario, 2 days. By the time you get the message and you land, you don't have a place to stay yet. So in today's technology, in 2024, it's going to take you 2 days to get from here to Jerusalem, Bethlehem. How long did it take the Magi? 700 miles, camels, horses, mules, people walking, and all the provisions they needed for the journey. Pick a time frame. 6 months, 7 months, 8 months. I like to say that the animals, the camels that we put in the manger scene at my house this year, left a year ago and are just arriving because they weren't there within a week. Again, what's another clue to that? They went and saw Herod, and Herod said, when did you see the star? And they tell him, but they've been watching the star. What was the star they saw? That's been some controversy, a lot of discussion about that. It's believed by one astrologer that what they saw was the planet Jupiter moving through the sky as it does and entering into the constellation of Aries. because those in the East believed in a pagan god, number one. They believed in Baal, and it was said that the Jewish people would get a new king when the star rose into Aries. So they're looking for a bright object in the sky. They do not have sophisticated telescopes. They're not sure what they're looking at. All they see is they can see the outline of Aries in the sky, and Jupiter is moving at it. And they have to wait till Jupiter gets into the constellation, because that's when the king will be born, in Jerusalem. And they're all excited, because there is nobody to send a quick text to say, how is the baby? What did they weigh? How tall were they? No, they just had to go on good faith that that's what that meant. And so they got their provisions together. They packed up. They found the folks that wanted to go on this journey, 700 miles in each direction. It's going to be 18 months or so before the whole turnaround. Things don't move quickly at that pace, at that time. And so they come to visit. See Herod. Now again, it's very interesting. We look for the clues in the Bible. How old was Jesus when the wise men showed up? Herod said to the wise men, when did you see the star? They tell him. The wise men don't report back in because they're told in a dream to go another way. And what does Herod say to his soldiers? Go there and kill any child. How old? 2 years and younger. So if the Magi did in fact get on a supersonic jet and get from the East Persia to Bethlehem in a day, why does Herod want babies 2 years and young? Why doesn't he just say anybody that's less than 2 weeks old? Because it took some time to get there. And unfortunately, it only meant more children were going to be killed. Because Herod's a jealous guy. Herod wants no part of a new king. Herod is not a nice human being. And so the Magi, being warned in this dream to go another way, did just that. And then Herod commits this atrocity. And Joseph, being the good dad that he is, listens to God. And in a dream is told, get out of town. And he does. They flee to Egypt to be safe for a time. We don't know exactly how long, but we do know that they went going back to Nazareth when Jesus was 12 years old. And remember the scene in the temple? Jesus was 12. We don't know what happened between those two. Were they in Egypt for, again, a week, a month, a year, a decade? We're not sure. But a good dad takes care of his family. Did Joseph have the complete revelation, that big aha, that understanding of the manifestation of who his child was in front of him? I don't know. We don't hear a lot about Joseph in Scripture. We hear a lot about Mary. And Mary was kind of scratching her head on more than one occasion. What in the world is going on? Why are all these shepherds coming here? Why is there singing going on? Why did I finally get the baby to sleep and the kid shows up with the drum? Come on. And then, of course, kings, wise men show up to pay homage and bringing gifts fit for a king. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Gold, pretty obvious as a gift if you're going to give a gift to a king, something that shows his dominion, his wealth, his power. Frankincense, that incense used by Levite priests in the temple, signifying a priest. Myrrh, that ointment that was incredibly rare and extremely expensive, almost as expensive as gold was in the day. It was a gift essential for a king or a god. They're acknowledging Jesus, and we pay attention to the nouns used, priest, prophet, and king. three gifts for those three manifestations of Jesus Christ on this earth. But he came here for us. He came here to save us. He came here to show us the way, how to live, how to treat each other, how to care for one another, how to be kind and compassionate, how to work with one another, how to collaborate with one another, how to communicate with one another, how to be in communion with one another. And he did it in the kindest, most gentle ways. And then the confusion. Wow. Why did he come 2,000 years ago? Because if he came today, he could have his own YouTube channel. He could have his own followers on Facebook and Instagram and X. He could have 7 or 8 million followers today, now. Or did he make a mistake and show up when he did? Well, God doesn't make mistakes. He makes some very funny people, but he doesn't make mistakes. He came when he needed to demonstrate in a very simple time how simple life can be, and calls us into that mission with him. Now, because of the way the calendar laid out, right, we had the fourth Sunday of Advent, the next day we had Christmas. We're closing out the Christmas season this week with first the Epiphany, and then tomorrow, the baptism of the Lord. The baptism of the Lord is the last day in the octave of Easter, this celebration that we don't just have in one day. It takes us 8 days to celebrate this wonderful event. And some folks have said, well, how come the church put the baptism right next to the Magi showing up? We go from baby to 30 years old in a day. That doesn't make sense to me. Well, it's kind of simple. As it turns out in my life, I have a birthday on the 24th day of the month. 2 days later is our anniversary. Last year, I turned 65, and we were married for 42 years. How can those two things be separated by 2 days when they're separated by 20 years? Oh, because it's a calendar, and things happen on days, and we're not right. So we're looking at key moments in Christ's life, not them all laid out in a chronological timeline. And sometimes things happen when they happen. And it's necessary to close out the Christmas season with the baptism of the Lord as Christ has come into the world, and now he is taking that great big step. He's being baptized. All right, so test questions. Why do we get baptized? Yeah, you're right, to erase original sin. You guys are quick. Why else do we get baptized? To become a child of God, right? Help me. Jesus is the Son of God. He doesn't need to become a child of God. Jesus was born without original sin. There's got to be something else. To receive the Holy Spirit. Well, there's a fun theological question. Isn't Jesus God and therefore has the fullness of the Holy Spirit? How about this one? It began his public ministry. How many miracles did Jesus perform before the baptism? Work with me. Which one was it? Cana. They're doing really well over here. The wedding feast at Cana, on this side of the room, asked for by his mom. Why do we venerate Mary? Because Jesus did what Mary asked him to do. Only one miracle occurred, and what did he say to mom? Almost as if he were a teenager. Yeah, right. Duh. It's not my time yet. Or words to that effect. Wasn't his time yet. He hadn't been baptized. That baptism begins his ministry. That ministry is how he shows us how to live. That ministry that through our baptism we are invited into. We are called in our baptism to work with Jesus as priest, prophet, and king. We recognize that our citizenship is in heaven, not here on this earth. Yes, we abide by civil rules and regulations and laws. Yes. But you're really a citizen of the kingdom, not here. And are you living your life according to what God wants you to do or what man wants you to do? Oh, there's always the struggle in our lives. But we celebrate the Magi recognizing who this little baby is, a king who's going to have his own following, who's going to change the course of the world as we know it. And the next day in the church's cycle, we celebrate his baptism. He's come into the world, and now he's getting to work. And in the church, the liturgical cycle, it only took 24 hours because there's a lot to do. And he invites us into that ministry. And how do we do that? There's a million different ways to do that. Part of our stewardship as Catholics is to be of service to the church, with the church, and in the church. And the question is always, is there something you could be doing to help? And that question should always be in the back of your mind. Can I use the gifts that God gave me in service to the church? Can I lead a Bible study? Can I help with First Communion? Can I be an usher at Mass? It's a quick responsibility, 15, 20 minutes before Mass, 10 or 15 minutes after Mass. Barely ruins your whole day. And you're right here going to church as well. Don't have enough of those. We can use so many more folks to be active participants in the ministry of this parish, in ministry to the service of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who suffered and died for us. Because an important key component of every religion is worship. And a key component of worship is sacrifice. When you love someone, you do things for them. And as Catholics, those three parts of stewardship is prayer. We're gathered here today to do that. You no doubt have your own ritual of prayer at home that you engage in. Service. What are you doing to help grow the kingdom of God on this earth, in this parish, in this place? Generosity. You guys do that really well, and we thank you for that. We don't have to go asking for money to when there's a $28,000 plumbing bill, or have to replace an air conditioning chiller at $110,000. We didn't have to come begging, because every week you guys reach in and grab what you're supposed to and generously donate it to the church. We're called to be stewards. We are called to be in union with Christ in his ministry on this earth. We've got to ask ourselves, what am I doing it? How am I doing it? And am I doing what God wants me to be doing? And then we know that we're really receiving. We're really understanding. We're really getting it. We've got that aha moment that that's why Jesus came here. That's what we are supposed to be doing. I'll end with a thought from Pope St. Gregory the Great. He says in his homilies on the Gospels that the three items presented to Jesus Christ We're to present to God in our daily lives. Gold is Christ's wisdom, which is to shine in our lives. Frankincense is the prayer and adoration we are to give him. And myrrh is our daily self-sacrifices to and for the Lord.